Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. Today, I want to talk about, again, some of the things we are seeing in the marketplace. And I was reviewing a State of the Union article by the American Association of Private Lenders. And I really thought this was interesting because many of us are investors. And whether you want to be a passive investor, active investor, we want to try and provide you information that allows you to make informed decisions. And let me share with you kind of what is going on or what they're seeing. So one of the areas that we've seen a lot of movement is in regards to the lending space and investors getting either a bridge loan or a DSCR loan. Let's dive into that a little bit more. First, a bridge loan. It's a short-term business purpose loan. Now, when we say business purpose, it's not a restaurant or things like that. We got asked that question by the SEC, actually, of you're giving loans to businesses? No, it's an LLC, but it's secured typically by 1 to 4 unit residential property. People know these by fix and flip loans, non-QM, and new term RTL, residential transition loan. There's also ground up construction, private lender loans, even the so-called the dirty bird of hard money loans. Technically, you know, residential transition loans, the most accurate description, because the asset's in some type of transition. Typically, they're using a short-term 12-month bridge to either sell it or seek out long-term financing. Now, the other is what's called DSCR, debt service coverage ratio. Those loans are based off of monthly income compared to your mortgage payment and taxes and insurance as well. Let's say that you have a rental that can bring in $1,000 a month and the debt service is $800. So 1,000 divided by 800 is 1.25. You know, unlike bridge loans, which are short-term, DSCR for 30 years. So bridges, give an example, you're buying a dilapidated property that you want to hold for rental. You'll start with a bridge loan, get the money to fix it up, then you'll refinance it into longer-term debt, which typically might be a DSCR loan, into a permanent product. The benefits of these DSCR loans is they don't go against your credit. They don't go against your debt to income. They're solely based on how that property performs. But just remember that, you know, at the end of the day, you're probably still responsible for that if they make you sign a personal guarantee. Industry on multifamily, for example, 1.25 or higher is what you'll typically need. Some lenders will go to DSCR as a 0.7, meaning you'll come out of pocket every month, but must have very low loan to values. So I talk about this because in 2024, you know, the demand has gone up about 30% year over year as these have become securitized and, you know, basically institutional money has poured into this space. It has really started to see an uptick in the number of loans slash the growth that you're seeing in this space. So I believe, you know, basically from a volume perspective, just several quarter over quarter just last year was anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 loans per quarter. So significant growth. DSCR, again, very, very similar growth within both spaces. Now, one thing about these loans that people need to understand, they're more expensive. And what do I mean by that? Bridge loans of course, you know, are much higher. The interest rate varies across the country and so forth. But the national average towards the end of last year was about 11.25%. I know people are thinking that's high. Let's step back for a second. The loans are typically easier to get. And let's say it's a $100,000 loan. You're going to pay $11,250,000 in interest over that course of the year. Whereas if it was a traditional loan, you're paying 8%, you're paying, call it $8,000. Now it's $3,000 more, which is a lot. But some people look at it from, it's simpler, it's easier, it's faster. And if I can get the loan faster, I can get the property done faster, which I can collect interest and money on the property faster. So upside, downside. Now, it varied. Up in, you know, Wayne, Michigan, they're over 13%. Dallas, they're high, over 12. Fulton County, Georgia, a lot of activity there, still high, over 12.5%. Average loan amounts, interestingly enough, Dallas was $750,000. Now, Georgia, $500,000. Michigan, $150,000. So you can see, you know, the rates vary also there. You know, so really interesting overall. And they have shifted a little bit over the course of last year. One point, they're up over 11.5, went down to 11, and again, fluctuating throughout. But it's interesting because Massachusetts, for some reason, had higher rates. Higher balances, though, typically correlate to higher interest rates. Now, what I found interesting is, I know some people in California who say they can get their hard money loans for 9%. On the average on the graphs here, it's still showing well over 10% in those areas. That's on the bridge side. Now, DSCR loans, again, in January of 24, they're over 8%, which is really high. By October, they're down to, you know, 7.125%. Today, they're floating right around 7 to 6.875%. But you got to remember, almost 50% of loans still price in that 6% range, but it's really average. And here's a big factor that I think people need to understand about these types of loans. And when you go back and you hear me say, they were based off of property performance is one factor. But you as an individual play a huge critical role in that. And what do I mean by that? So for people who are, again, passive and active investors out there, you're looking for financing. These are two very good options for you. Two very, very good options for you. But just realize, we priced a loan for somebody on a DSCR loan recently. And priced it, if I was buying it, my credit score is above 780. So it came in at 6.875% is what that loan came in at. That same person with a 710 score pumped in at 7.5. Okay. So basically almost a half a point difference because of the credit. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you. The other factor is down payment. How much equity? Again, there's the teaser rates out there that say starting at 6.5%. Yeah, they are. On someone with 800 credit and 50% loan to value, you can get a loan like that. But if you're at, you know, a DSCR of floating around 1, you're at 80% LTV, which is the most they'll go, and your credit's low, you're still, right now, you're probably going to be in the mid-7s on those loans. But again, what's nice about them is they don't impact your debt to income. And a lot of people acquiring investment properties can use this to expand their portfolio. So it is a great product. But interest rates, a little bit higher. What do the fees look like on these types of loans? Of course, they're upfront fees. Now, when I talk about upfront fees, I need people to understand. This is fees that are paid at closing. Do not ever, ever, ever in a million years send somebody money directly or before closing. Don't do it. If you do, you will never see that money again. If you're a borrower, everything goes through an escrow agent or title company. That is the way it should go. So let's talk about fees. You know, there's document prep, which is $1,000 to $1,500. Processing the loan, again, $1,000 to $1,500. Underwriting the loan, which is typically $1,500 to $2,500, probably average around $15. But there's also points. So what are points? So here's the dirty little secret of how this works. Most people who provide these types of loans are not the actual lender. They're a broker. And they could get table funded, they could get white labeled. One thing we're looking at is doing correspondent, which was we originate them and then we sell them off. But here's how it typically works. You reach out to a broker, and the broker will take all your information and submit that to a lender. And the lender will tell you they have standard documentation processing underwriting fees. That broker gets paid by points. The lender will typically charge anywhere from 0.25 to 1 point. Everything above that is typically a broker fee. On average, brokers, you know, get between 35 basis points and a point to point and a half. Really depends. Bridge loans, average 2.33. DSCR, 2.43. So think about, you're going to be paying 2 to 2.5 points on the loan. Just understand that. Now, typically, if those loans, if you pay them off early, the lender will come back after the broker and recoup some of those points, by the way. But let me share a story with you about deals we've seen that have gotten killed because of brokers. We had a loan that we were looking at, a bridge loan in Texas. Borrower needed about $500,000 originally to finish construction. There was a small first on it for like $300,000, and property was 80% done with construction, and property easily was $1.5 to $2 million property. The broker wanted 5 points. So he wanted $25,000 on a $500,000 loan. And we're like, you're going to kill the deal. Like, this isn't going to get done. And he's like, no, they've agreed. I'm like, well, we're going to want 2 points. We're the one taking all the risk on the loan. So 7 points. But then as we dug into it, you know, first we weren't told about the first. We found out there was a first. So we went to go bump the loan up to $800,000 because we would only be in first position. The broker still wanted 5 points. So instead of $25,000, now he wants $40,000. We countered and said, hey, look, you can get 2 points on this deal. That's the most you're going to do, or you're going to kill the deal. He's like, no, no, no. We get everything done. I made the broker put $2,500 into an escrow account because I wasn't preparing all the documents and stuff because the borrower had not signed the term sheet. And the broker's like, he's coming to closing, don't worry. I'm like, good, put $2,500 in escrow. And if the deal falls through, I get to keep that $2,500, which was, you know, kind of all the document processing, all those other fees. He's like, sure, you know, they're going to close. He's told me he's closing, you know. So get all the documents prepped, some title company. Borrower never shows up to closing. Come to find out, he had found somebody cheaper. He was actually paying a higher interest rate than this, but they're only at 2.5 points. And the broker was pissed. He lost $2,500 and tried to blame us. And we told him, look, you killed the deal from the outset because of greed. And, you know, we learned a lesson that anytime a broker comes to us and wants more than typically a point, you know, we're not even just entertaining the conversation with them because it's probably a really bad loan that nobody else will want to touch. And they probably already shopped it around to everybody and anybody. So just wanted to kind of, you know, share that. For those who do private lending and do these types of loans, you know, call it from your balance sheet, especially on the bridge side, one of the benefits is default interest. You know, on a residential loan, somebody owns a home, typically you can't charge default interest. You know, it's just a regular interest rate. On bridge loans, even DSCR, you can charge default interest rate. Now, typically, it's between 15 and 25%. median is 18. It's actually something that is really kind of been unaddressed in the space and not really very well regulated. And the space is actually trying to come up with a standard. You know, Fannie and Freddie have a default interest rate 4% above the note rate. You know, this industry should come up with something. Now, I don't know if it's 4, I don't know if it's 6, you know, come up with something, but you know, should come up with some type of standard that would then probably be better if there were a lot of suits being filed against this. But 1% or above 30%, 3% or between 25 and 30, 23% or between 20 and 25, and 40% or between 15 and 19%. Then, you know, 24% are between 10 and 14, and then the rest all below. So as you can see, the majority are, again, between that 15 and 25%, as I mentioned. But what's beneficial about it, if you're a private money lender, is it defaults and gets that high interest. If you try and sell the loan as non-performer, it will sell pretty close to par value because it's clocking in that default interest compared to a regular loan that will sell at a significant discount. So something there to consider and benefit. Another little creative aspect of the industry is on construction loans, either ground up construction or fix and flip loans, and what is called Dutch interest. And Dutch interest is when I give you a $500,000 loan, but you have construction draws, you're paying interest on the full 500. Doesn't matter if you haven't taken all the money, because I, as a lender, have to make sure we have that money held in either a reserve account or available for it. So we should get paid to have that money sitting there. What's interesting, though, is only 20% of loans had Dutch interest. I thought it would be higher. Now, 72% didn't. Now, again, I thought it would be much higher, to be frank with you. So now, last, as we wrap up, and I focused on this episode really on private lending loans in the bridge and the DSCR. But what I think is valuable also is for those who are considering, you know, hey, look, I invested in a fund. I want to diversify and do some private lending, or I've done private lending and you want to invest in a fund, reach out, 70investments.com. You know, is where's the deal flow? Where are we seeing deals? Now, on bridge loans, which are typically, you know, rehab loans, typically they're major metropolitan areas. LA, San Diego, Chicago, Orange County, Miami, Dallas, Atlanta, Southwest Florida, and other aspects of California. Typically, so you got California, Florida, Texas, Georgia is pretty much where all the, you know, a lot of the rehabs are going. Rental, which is interesting, because when you think rental, people do these for cash flow, not as much appreciation. So it's not going to be the top markets. It's more of cash flowing markets. Cleveland, Philadelphia, certain areas of County Illinois, Texas, you know, St. Louis, Michigan,
Duval,
or whatever is from that Jacksonville coach, Duval, Florida. You know, in Southern Ohio as well, you know, Cincinnati, Columbus. So you can see where people are flowing based off of the types of properties. Cash flowing or Midwest, Southeast. Renovation projects, which are fix and flippers typically, where are most people? California, Texas, Miami. So as we wrap up this episode, which I hope you found valuable just on me throwing out numbers, but I think gives kind of some insights or tidbits that people can take away and just realize, hey, if I want to invest, it's not always the same market, same area. It really has to be based on what it is you're trying to accomplish. But whatever the case is, just remember that this market, this avenue is growing at, you know, 30%+ per year. And it's not by accident. There's institutions really driving the growth in this space, from the Apollos to the Blackstones, getting involved because they don't want to own the real estate. Now, some will do build-to-rent communities, but when you're in the lending side, again, goes back to the Rockefeller strategy, control everything, own nothing. So, hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to leave us a like on your favorite review and listening station. And as always, catch you on the next one.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.